So in 1529, the entire future of Europe was basically decided not by an army or a king, but by a piece of chalk and like a disagreement over a meal.
Yeah, literally four Latin words scribbled on a table.
Right, which is just wild. So welcome to our exploration into the source material. Today we're digging into Michael Bruning's Reformation source book to look at this age of debate. It's, you know, when the printing press turned a monk's private struggle into this massive public information war.
And it really shattered a thousand-year monopoly, because before this, the church was the sole gatekeeper of truth. I mean, if you wanted to know what God thought, you didn't read, you just listened to a priest.
Exactly. And Luther comes in and targets what he called the three walls protecting the church. He essentially argued that they protected themselves by claiming only the Pope could interpret scripture or call a council. So he tried to, I guess, open source religion, like taking the source code away from the elite developers and giving it to the users.
That's a great way to put it, actually. He proposed this priesthood of all believers. His analogy was, imagine a group of lay people stranded in a desert without a priest.
Oh, right. The desert island kind of scenario.
Yeah. He said they could just pick one of their own to baptize and preach because every Christian is already consecrated by faith. You just don't need the middleman anymore.
But wait, why didn't the church just completely ignore him or, you know, crush him immediately?
Well, because that first wall regarding temporal power was already starting to crumble. Kings like Henry VIII saw this and realized, wait, if the Pope doesn't have a monopoly on God, why does he get my tax money?
Ah, so they saw a political opportunity to be their own defenders of the faith, a major payday. But then the battle really moves into the mind, right? Like the clash between Luther and Erasmus.
Exactly. So in 1524, we get this huge debate on free will. Erasmus was the humanist, and he really valued Christian harmony and wanted to avoid conflict.
Right. He took a pretty moderate view, if I remember correctly. Like, God's grace starts the work, but human will just has to choose not to resist it.
Yeah, very reasonable. But Luther absolutely hated it. He responded with what he called a thunderbolt. He demanded assertions, saying that if God is all-powerful and foreknows everything, free will is just a logical impossibility.
Wait, I have to jump in here because that is honestly incredibly depressing. If we literally have no choice in our destiny, why would you even bother trying to be a good person? It sounds like he's just replacing a gatekeeper with a cosmic puppet master.
I know, it feels like a trap to us today. But for someone in the 1500s, it was actually a profound consolation.
Really? How so?
Well, if your salvation depends on your own fickle, weak will, you'd constantly be panicking. Like, did I pray enough? Luther's logic was, if it's entirely up to God, you can finally stop worrying. You can just breathe.
Okay, I guess I see the psychological relief in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the age of debate didn't stay in the theological classroom. Could you get the peasants in 1524 hearing all this?
Right. They hear Luther saying they're spiritually free and equal before God.
Naturally, they take his spiritual freedom and apply it directly to economics. They read the 12 articles, basically demanding an end to serfdom because Christ redeemed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then Luther pivots hard, doesn't he?
He really does. It gets pretty dark. When the peasants actually revolted, he wrote against the robbing and murdering hordes. He called the rebels mad dogs and literally urged the nobility to smite, strangle, and stab them to keep order.
Wow. Isn't that just a massive double standard? Like, he uses the printing press to bypass the church's laws, but when the peasants use his own logic to bypass the state's laws, he wants them executed.
It definitely looks that way. It seems he realized that testing the spirits was great until people started testing his own ideas. And this inability to agree on the truth leads straight to the Marburg Colloquy.
Right, the chalk on the table moment. This is where the Protestant movement splits forever over like one single sentence.
Yes. So Luther and Zwingli were trying to form a military alliance to survive the emperor, but they couldn't get past the phrase, "This is my body." Zwingli argued it was just a metaphor, like saying the rock was Christ.
And Luther just writes, "Hoc est corpus meum," on the table, and absolutely refuses to budge. But why let one word about a meal stop an alliance that could literally save your lives?
Because for Luther, if you got that metaphor wrong, you were calling God a liar. He demanded literal certainty. I mean, he preferred to face an entire army alone rather than compromise on a single word.
That is just wild. So this whole age of debate moves from questioning a pope to questioning human choice, and ends with a movement so fractured it couldn't even agree on a basic metaphor.
Exactly. The printing press let everyone test the spirits for themselves, but once they did, they never actually agreed again. You take away the central gatekeeper, and suddenly, who do you trust?
Which leaves us with a huge question for you to take away today. Luther told everyone to find the truth themselves, but look where it led. If you were sitting at that table in Marburg today, whose spirit would you actually trust more? The one demanding literal certainty at any cost, or the one who sees the power in a metaphor? Think about that next time you're trying to find common ground in a world where everyone has their own source code.